Good evening. I call this January 24th, 2023 meeting of the Blair Mayor and City Council to order. I am Mindy Rump, the Mayor of Blair, and I am pleased you have joined us this evening. This is a public meeting and you are part of the process. I encourage you to participate, ask questions, and share your thoughts. I want you to feel comfortable and I will do everything that I can to make sure that your voice is heard. We have several rules to help us proceed with the meeting and I ask that you keep them in mind. Turn off your cell phones. If you need to take a call, step outside the chamber. When you wish to speak, simply raise your hand. I will recognize you and you may come to the podium. The city clerk must record who you are, so please state your name, spell your last name. What else? Oh, and state your address. Thank you. Keep your remarks brief, about 3 minutes, so that others have an opportunity to speak. Please direct your remarks to me, the city council, or to staff. A copy of the Open Meetings Act has been posted by both exits, and we will begin with a roll call of members.
Colin Haper?
Here.
Rick Paulson?
Here.
Andrew Shank?
Here.
Frank Wolf?
Here.
Kevin Willis?
Here.
Jim Sandvold?
Here.
Caitlin Ferrari?
Here.
Kirk Heifel?
Here.
All members present.
Thank you. Let's start with Pledge of Allegiance, please, if you would stand.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Before we go on with the consent agenda, I wanted to take a moment to publicly welcome our new city treasurer, John Harris. Would you stand up, John, and let everyone see you? Thank you very much for being here. All right. Item number four, approval of the consent agenda.
So moved.
We have a motion and a second by Shank.
Shank, sorry. Quiet tonight.
Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Before we go on, can everybody hear us speak? Are the mics turned up enough? Can you hear us? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. All right. Item number five. We have a presentation by Ron Ruse, president of GOATS, to present a donation check to the Parks Department for the use of Black Elk Nyhart Park for their marathon event. Ron.
Thank you. Hi, Ron Ruse, R-U-H-S, 2155.
I said it wrong.
2155 Durant Street. Thank you, City Council and Mayor. Wanted to just tell you really quick about the GOATS, it was Greater Omaha Area Trail Runners, that some of the new council members were probably not here when we started this process 3 years ago. So just to give you a little background on that, we're a full 501c nonprofit organization, promotes trail running, walking, hiking, and maintaining all the trails in the Greater Omaha area and all the counties touching. So basically 7 counties, 2 in Iowa, 5 in Nebraska, that we promote the park system and the upkeep of those things. In 2020, we presented to the board to see if we could use Black Elk as a location for a 5K, 10K, and a half marathon. After Thor had started on the trails out there, did a very nice job on that. We were lucky to that y'all approved that. And we had about 60 runners in that first race. Last year, we had 100. So getting pretty close to doubling it. And it's been approved for 2023 again, and I hope to have really to cap it out at the 135 that Pat and I have talked about. So that's kind of the generality of the GOATS. And all the money we make as that nonprofit goes back to people in the community. And at Black Elk, the first year we were able to donate 1,000. This year I'm happy to say we can do 2,200. Back to the park department to whatever they need the money for. So that's other than 2 races we have that are our general fund so we can operate as a group. All the other races that we have about 80 a year go to support the communities that it's in. So I'm very happy that we can run again in 2023 and really excited that everybody okayed for the bike, the NICA race up there as well, the mountain bike race for the high schools. I think Black Elk's getting out in the surrounding communities as a place to come and that people want to enjoy. And part of our thing is even over the weeks, months leading up to the race, we will do preview runs up there. So not only on race day, we give people the opportunity to show them the trail throughout the year and get to know that and interact with everybody. So that's really all I have. Just say thank you to all of you for allowing us to do that.
I have a question, Ron.
Yes.
The cap for 135 runners, is that just for safety?
I think just the parking's really the main issue up there.
Okay.
That you know. And we've been lucky that we've been able to partner with the church since it's on a Saturday, that they've allowed us to use their parking for both years before and this year as well, that we talked to them. So I think that's probably more the issue right now.
Okay.
Is to not overload any of the surrounding neighborhood with cars. I mean, if you told me I could have 200, I'd say, okay, we'll see. that is the logistics of parking is the main reason.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Ron, what's the date you have planned for this year's run, the 6th, the 10th?
I think I know, but I don't. The 10th, I believe. It's the Saturday, the 2nd.
August.
Oh, August, yes, sorry. We know, and then
that's
I can't spit it out. August 10th on a Saturday. And like I said, we do have opportunity to show people the trail weeks and months before that to get them involved in the community.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, item number 6. Request to appear before the mayor and city council by Michaela Valentine from OBPD.
Hi, Michaela Valentine. Last name is spelled V-A-L-E-N-T-I-N and OPPD 444 South 16th Street Mall, Omaha, Nebraska. And I have my colleague Dustin with me. The whole purpose to come before you tonight is to introduce myself and Dustin so that you are all familiar with who we are. Mayor, I know you know us from touring Fort Calhoun Station. And we work closely with Rod and Jeff in many facets. But I'm Michaela Valentine, Government Community Relations Manager, and I, until recently, have been responsible for all 13 counties that OPPD oversees. So I had every village, city, and county, and that is too many people for one person. So I'd like to introduce you to Dustin, my new colleague, and he's going to tell you a little bit about himself and a little bit about what OPPD is doing. So thank you for the time this evening.
Absolutely. Good evening. Dustin Marvel, that's M-A-R-V as in Victor, E-L, Government and Community Relations Strategist, I guess is the official title. Came to OPPD here in November after a 17-year career in law enforcement, most recently with BNSF Railway Police, where I spent 14 years in various capacities around the country. So I worked very closely with bodies such as this, just on different events and you know, operations. Excited to be a part of OPPD and help you in your guys' endeavors as well. If we can ever be of any assistance, please feel free to reach out. I am going to leave a little bit of, you know, some informational stuff for you guys to review and just kind of have in case you do get questions or whatnot from your constituents. First one is basically our Power with Purpose flyer, which kind of describes some of our current projects and different things from around the district. The next one is going to be a half-page little thing here that kind of describes, if I don't lose them all here, I've been trying hard not to, where it basically is going to lay out all of our different social media avenues and different things that we like to push our customer owners to. That way, in the event of power outages or things of that nature, or a sense of looking for information, that's a good spot to kind of direct folks to. Some exciting news in the future is we will be moving towards more of an automated metering system, but we're not there just yet. And so you'll notice on the bottom of this one, we have a little QR code. And what we try to do is encourage folks to go there and update their contact information and whatnot so that when we do finally make that next step to that automated system, it'll have the ability to reach out and really connect with folks with accurate information, right? And then lastly, I'll leave my business card with you. This is something specifically for our public officials. We utilize a system called Everbridge, which is a emergency alert notification process. Basically, it's receiving emails or text alerts when we're expecting potential power outages or in the event of an extended outage where we can help communicate to our public officials kind of where we're at in that process, trying to get things back up and running. And that way we kind of try to keep you up to speed at that government level in the event that you're getting questions as well. But of course, even regardless of that, if you do have problems, reach out. We can help at any time. Okay? Any questions? Perfect. Awesome. Well, that was easy.
Thank you.
Have a good evening.
Thank you, Justin.
Thank you.
All right, item number 7. Request to appear before the Mayor and City Council by Josh Tanner, 543 North 20th Avenue, Blair, to discuss lifting the dangerous dog designation on Paco and consider changing the city code in reference to the dangerous dog designation.
Josh Tanner, T-A-N-N-E-R, 543 North 20th Avenue, Blair. I don't really know what I'm doing, so I'm just trying to... So my dog was deemed dangerous a year ago. In the process that we went through, I don't feel we're in the correct manner. As we did take the dangerous dog class, he passed, and the lady was saying that she doesn't believe he is a dangerous dog. But we came before, and before we went to that, we had a hearing, and we heard, you know, we talked to the three people, and they voted their decision, but I think it should be switch the other way around. You know, you go to the dangerous dog class, you go to the person that talks to and is used to working with dangerous dogs. I think that should be an opinion in the,
the hearing that you have?
Yeah, the hearing that I'm having, or that we had, as well as written letters from the vets and all that stuff. Like when we came here prior, we had written letters and all that stuff, and they basically said, oh, if you're a champ, tell us all the same thing, we don't need to hear anything. Did your dog do this? Yes, he did. Cool, dangerous. And I just think there should be a different couple changes on it, as well as the appeal process. 4 years, I think, is kind of crazy. I don't know, maybe it isn't. But like my dog's 6 years old, 4 years is going to be 10, practically then. You know, it's, that's kind of what I'd rather have it to like a year. You know, if your dog goes a year without any incidents and passes the class and you socialize this dog, I don't think it should remain dangerous or it could be bumped down to a different term, but that's just kind of where I'm at.
Okay, thank you.
Mayor, just for real quick for the council members, the number you have not here when the council adopted the current changes in the ordinance that we have was patterned very much after the city of Omaha, I believe, Desiree, is that correct?
Yes.
And the council spent considerable time reviewing it back when it was adopted. So essentially what he's asking tonight is that we review and look at amending the code to allow for some changes there where the requirement for muzzling could be reduced. I think in the appeal process and so forth last year, they appealed to the council committee, and that's one of the things, you know, the ordinance allows that if somebody's dog's designated as dangerous or potentially dangerous, that they can appeal that to the council committee, police committee, then that hears that and reviews the evidence, lack of a better term, and determines whether or not to uphold that dangerous or potentially dangerous or remove that designation as staff and designated it based upon the police reports and so forth. So section on 6128, the potentially dangerous dogs, that's a section that declares that it has to be 48 months before you can request the designation removed. The other thing, the other places in the code would be under the dangerous dog. And under the dangerous dog, the current code does not even allow for the removal of the restriction for being muzzled out when it's outside. So what we will be doing is what we've suggested to Mayor Rump is that we will refer this to the police and fire committee, and sometime over the next month, 6 weeks, we'll get together and review some of this when the city attorney can be present and everything, and determine whether the committee feels that maybe we ought to tweak it in any way before and bring it back to the council if there's any proposed changes. So our recommendation tonight is then that we refer it to the police and fire committee.
Any other questions for council? Then I'm looking for a motion.
What is the breed of Paco? I mean, I assume that's his name. What kind of a dog is Paco?
He's a bulldog pit mix. And here's another thing I was thinking of is, I think the dog should be met, you know, by people here and not just, you're a pit bull, right? So you automatically, people think it's gonna be a dangerous dog. He's not, he's like a foot tall. And the incident that happened, he was cornered and he was scared and he tried to get away and he scratched one of my buddy's girlfriend's ears, and she even said it was her fault because she cornered him. He didn't snap, he didn't do none of that. And I think it should just be reviewed a little better. And it seemed like the committee was a slight bit biased just as soon as they heard he was a pit.
I will tell you, Paco is our neighbor. We see him all the time. He is a very kind dog. We've never had any issues. We have two dogs ourselves. Josh and Kelly are very responsible and they take very good care of Paco. They make sure that he has a fenced in yard, that they're following all of the guidelines, the regulations. And so I think that they have listened to what the council's asked them to do.
Rod, I had one question. Since this has been adopted into the statute here for Blair and all, has there been, how many dogs have fallen under that designation?
Several.
Several.
We get several bites. We've had one instance where a small dog was attacked by a larger one that killed it. We've had several bites where kids have been bitten.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Has there been any, many other situations like with Josh petitioning to review anything?
No. So he's as far as I'm aware of, there's been nobody else that's concerned as far as with removal of the muzzle and requirements. You know, does people necessarily like it? No.
Right. But I'm just saying, but as far as somebody officially coming before trying to tweak anything, this will be the first tweak that somebody's asked for us to look at. Okay.
And how long has it been in place, Rod, the ordinance?
Probably, Desiree, 4 or 5 years?
Yes, I just crossed it. There were revisions back in 2012. I want to say the last revision was 2012. I had it up. Give me a second.
It's been about 5 years, I mean, yes.
So I have it up now. So it looks like the dangerous dog was last modified on October 11th, 2016. Potentially dangerous. Seeing that that's actually in the ordinance of when it was last updated, when I'm just scrolling through this version of it, but it looks like the dangerous one was updated in 2016.
And he, Paco, is on the list due to breed of dog? I mean, it's a pit bull type, and that's
not incident.
Incident.
Oh, the incident, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Does Paco run free, or is he always in the backyard fenced in?
He's always in the backyard fenced in.
Okay.
We do take him on walks. I mean, I don't even get a hold of the leash. He doesn't go after people. If my dog was a bad dog, I wouldn't have a problem with it. If he was a mean dog, cool. I accept that, but he's not. and it's kind of sucked the life out of them in a way. Because when he puts his muzzle on, he takes it for a walk, he just quits trying. And I hate to see my dog like that. I've seen him for another 4 years like that. I just don't think it's fair in his part on how it was done.
Mayor, I'd move to refer this to the committee, Police and Fire Committee, to review that and make any recommendations that, if you know, to after the review.
Okay, looking for a second.
Second.
It's a motion and seconded to refer the request to the Police and Fire Committee for further consideration. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Item number 8. I'm opening a public hearing to consider Ordinance 2493 for annexing and extending the corporate limits of the City of Blair to include the real estate, which is generally described as the Elk Ridge Subdivision, lots 1 through 38, being a plat of the portion of tax lot 201 and tax lot 283 in the north half of the northwest quarter of Section 7, Township 18, North Range 12, east of the Prime Meridian, Washington County, Nebraska, on second reading. Mr. Storm.
Mayor, Council, the Council at the last meeting approved the subdivision out by the cemetery area. The annexation was approved on first reading under state statute. You can't waive the second or third reading for an annexation. So tonight is before the Council for a second reading. Any questions?
I'd introduce ordinance number 2493.
Second.
An ordinance annexing and extending the corporate limits of the City of Blair to include the real estate generally described as tax lot 201 and 283, lying in the north one half of the north one, northwest 1/4 of Section 7, Township 18, North Range 12, east of the 6 p.m. Washington County, Nebraska, providing for all ordinance of parts and ordinance conflict herewith to be repealed and providing that said ordinance be full force and effect following passage and publication as required by law. Ordinance ordinance be published in pamphlet form.
I move to adopt ordinance 2493 on the second reading.
Second.
Question?
Maybe a question?
Question?
There you go, Holly. Thank you. Question before the council is, shall ordinance number 2493 be passed and adopted on second reading? Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
I declare ordinance number 2493 adopted on the second reading. Item number 9. We need to recess and meet as a Board of Equalization to consider levying special assessments against public improvements in West Valley Subdivision.
I move that we recess as a council and meet as a Board of Equalization at 7:24 p.m.
Second. Thank you.
It's been motioned and seconded. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Mr. Storm.
Mayor, Council, you have before you tonight a resolution approving the proposed assessments against the property in Paving District 204, Sanitary Improvement District Number 81, Water District 59. The total assessments for the project, this is the project West Valley, which is up off of 24th in Nebraska. The total cost were $705,811.38. The assessment schedule for the project is in your packet and included in the resolution as far as the proposed interest rate, the 15-year assessment, and those assessments are broke down on the attached sheet showing the total amount of assessed for water, sewer, and paving. I'd be happy to answer questions for you. This is the process for which to get, should any landowner object to those assessments, that they would have this opportunity to come before the council and be heard. My understanding is the assessment's been reviewed with the property owner, developer, and everybody is ready to move forward with the assessments. And with that, I'd answer any questions.
If there are no questions, I will introduce resolution number 2023-3.
Resolution number 2023-3 was introduced by Councilmember Willis, levying special assessments against paving District 204, Water Extension District 59, and Sanitary Sewer District 81, all in West Valley Subdivision.
Make a motion to adopt resolution number 2023-3 as presented.
Second.
It's been motioned and seconded to adopt resolution number 2023-3 as presented. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Make a motion to adjourn the Board of Equalization and reconvene as a council to proceed with the meeting at 7:27.
Second.
We have a motion, a second, to adjourn as a Board of Equalization and reconvene as a council. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Item number 10, consider the purchase of a new scoreboard for Vets Field. Mr. Storm.
Mayor, Council, you have before you tonight a proposal to purchase a new scoreboard for Vets Field. The proposal that we have in front of you tonight shows a total cost of $39,555.50. Since we've got this quote here about a week and a half ago, I asked James to contact Electronics to see if they participated in any of the co-op purchasing. And as you know, under the co-op purchasing, it's same as the bid being on the state bid. And usually, if they're a participant, it comes in lower. They have indicated that the total cost would be about 10% less buying it through the TIPS program, which we can participate in. So what we're looking tonight, and my understanding is that the Legion Baseball program has raised a little over $20,000 already, and have all the faith that they'll raise the remaining funds that it take to complete the purchase. And we would like to be able to move forward to get that scoreboard ordered so that we could have it by summer to be able to use it this coming summer. If you have the drawing on in your packet, you notice on the top of the scoreboard it shows City of Blair. Discussions are that we will probably put on their best memorial field on the top of the scoreboard, and then sponsored down below would be the City of Blair on the lower panel. And then of course any donor panels that we might need, we can add someplace along on the support poles and so forth to recognize those donors if there's any recognition that needs to be had. With that, I'd answer your questions.
So the cost of funding the purchase is going to be raised totally by donations, not coming out of our normal budget?
Right now, I mean, they're looking at raising all of the funds. Again, I think this is one of those projects where it's on city ball fields and so forth, that this would be a good use for Keno funds should they come up a few dollars short to be able to make sure we get that purchase. So
I just wanted to
And I think there's funds available. There would be no general tax dollars or anything going to our sales tax going into the purchase of this.
Okay. Will the scoreboard say City of Blair or will it say Vets Field?
What we're looking at is it's right here where it says City of Blair now on shown on this drawing. That we're looking at put Vets Memorial Field, with the lower panel here being City of Blair.
For the record, I don't like the drawing City of Blair. I shouldn't say City of Blair, but the Bears are down by four runs in the drawing, and I don't like that.
So, very observant.
If we can just make sure that gets changed. So the price, I mean, when they make the motion, what will we be making the motion for?
Move forward with the purchase of the scoreboard for the 39 minus 10%.
And then for the donors, does it cost more money to add the donors off to the side, or is that
That wouldn't be on the scoreboard directly.
Okay.
We can put signs up, you know, on that to recognize them as needed.
Okay. All right, any other questions? Any comments from the public? If not, I will entertain a motion.
I make a motion to approve the purchase of the new scoreboard for Betts Field from Dectronics in the amount of $39,555.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to approve the purchase of a new scoreboard for Betts Field. Please register your vote.
All council members present voting aye.
Motion passes. All right, Mr. Storm, anything else?
Two things real quick. One is you see, run into State Senator Ben Hansen. I'd like to at least thank him for supporting the city by introducing a bill to the legislature to help increase funding to the Nebraska Department of Environmental and Energy to help put more money available into the SRF program to help lower the cost of the increased inflation and everything from the treatment plant and some of the projects we've got going there. He's been very supportive in working with us trying to get some additional dollars into the SRF fund so that it'll help us lower the ultimate borrowing costs on that those projects. Second thing, again, February 18th, make sure on your calendar. If you see any of the members of the Planning Commission, if you see any of the members of the Board of Adjustment that's been appointed, encourage them to attend also and participate in that process. The zoning, planning and zoning will be probably start about 10 o'clock that day. We'll start at 8:30, but the planning and zoning will start about 10. We'll have a short break for lunch at around noon, and then go for probably another couple hours on planning zoning until that's all completed, and then we'll finish up with some other items that we've got for the retreat. So again, February 18th.
All right, thank you. Mr. Sandvold.
I make a motion that we adjourn this meeting.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Please register your vote. I'm going to be all official.
She doesn't do that.
You going to put it up or not?
I can. I just have to get there. Hold on. I was like, you should
there we go.
Do that. You guys don't usually wait for me. Yeah.
We're going to wait for you.
Well, we got to get
you
there.
Yeah, but we got to hear you. Yeah.
You'd be good.
Second. Yeah, yeah. No library. Yeah.
Sounds like that would be nice.
So voting stone process, is it done? Oh, he did.
There we go.
Rick was the last one. I did it for him.
Members present. Meeting adjourned.